in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众，今天是2月14日，接下来请听这一小时的简要新闻。美国彭博新闻社援引了了解消息内情人士的话报道说，特朗普总统考虑把提高中国进口商品关税的最后期限延长60天。处于贸易战休战期的美国和中国正在试图通过谈判化解贸易战。美国总统特朗普和中国国家主席习近平去年12月在阿根廷宣布暂停贸易战的协议，美中两国要在90天内谈判解决贸易争端。美国将在3月2号把总额2000亿美元的中国商品的关税从10%上调到25%。特朗普总统星期二表示，如果美中两国就中国的经济政策做出结构性改革的问题接近达成协议，他可以延长最后期限，但他表示他不愿意那么做。彭博社援引了解内情的人士的话说，特朗普总统正在考虑是否要给两国谈判人员更多的时间，将上调关税的时间向后延伸。特朗普总统星期三说，美中贸易谈判进展良好。美国国会参议院外交委员会亚太事务小组委员会主席加德纳星期二说，他当面对来访的前中国驻美国大使周文仲表示，他呼吁邀请台湾总统蔡英文来美国国会联席会议发表演说，因为这与美国法律一致。他希望众议院议长佩洛西近期内就发出这个邀请。加德纳说，他向中国代表团重申，北京对台北敌对性行动具有反效果，美国国会将会继续支持为台湾和台湾人民的倡议，这么做是根据美国的法律的指引，包括与台湾关系法、台湾旅行法以及亚洲再保证倡议。加德纳说，他也向中国代表团表达他对中国一些极其危险的做法的看法，包括在南中国海的非法军事化、更加恶化的人权以及北京的歧视性贸易行为等等。他希望美国和中国能和平解决这些问题。美国国会首次动用战争权力法制止白宫帮助沙特。由民主党控制的国会众议院星期三采取了针对特朗普总统的行动，表示表决通过法案，切断美国对在也门作战的沙特联军的军事援助。众议院以248票赞成、177票反对通过了法案，这是众议院有史以来第一次使用战争权力法案。战争权力法将交给法案将交给参议院，参议院去年年末没有通过一个类似的法案，成为国会与白宫有可能对峙的铺垫。参议院去年年末通过了一个类似的法案，成为国会与白宫有可能对峙的铺垫。美国总统特朗普星期三表示，他还没有决定是否要签署一项两党共同提出的在美国墨西哥边境修建新屏障的法案。如果不签署这项法案，在是否修建边境墙问题的争端将导致政府再度部分停摆。屡获殊荣的菲律宾记者兼一家人在新闻在线新闻网站的创始人英语总统杜特尔特多次发生冲突，星期三被政府人员以诽谤罪逮捕。菲律宾新闻网站的主编玛利亚·萨雷受到一项涉嫌杀人及贩毒的商人的投诉后被逮捕。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课的题目是确认计划第一部分，重点学习怎样预定餐馆座位和改变计划。电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Michael Epstein. Mr. Epstein is in his office in San Jose, California. Hello, Mr. Epstein.
Hello.
The last time we talked, we discussed your phone call with Mr. Blake.
Yes, that's right. He and I talked on Monday just after he arrived in San Francisco. And then on Tuesday, Mr. Blake and I had lunch together. Afterwards, we drove around San Francisco.
You told him that you were going to arrange a meeting with your boss, Ms. Shirley Graham.
For a lunch meeting on Wednesday, yes. I made a reservation for 12:15 on Wednesday at a nice little restaurant in San Mateo.
San Mateo?
Yes, it's just south of the San Francisco airport.
Now let's listen to your phone call to the restaurant. We'll see how you made the reservation.
Jackson Grill, can I help you?
Yes, I'd like to make a reservation for tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
For how many people?
There will be three of us.
Let's see. I'm sorry, but I don't have a table at 12 o'clock. I do have a table at 12:15. How would that be?
That would be just fine. Could we have a quiet table if possible? We'll be discussing business.
I'm sure we can arrange that. Could I have your name, please?
Sure, it's Epstein. Mike Epstein.
Could you please spell that?
Certainly.It's Epstein. E-P-S-T-E-I-N.
Okay, Mr. Epstein. We'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday at 12:15.
Thank you.
词句转换。
Yes, I'd like to make a reservation for tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
I'd like to reserve a table for tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
For how many people?
How many people will there be?
How would that be?
Would that be okay?
Could we have a quiet table if possible?
Would it be possible for us to have a quiet table?
Could I have your name, please?
Could you please give me your name?
下面我们要结束同 Epstein 先生的访谈。
You were able to get a table for 12:15.
That's right. They were busy at 12 o'clock. So I needed to check with Ms. Graham to confirm that this time was good for her. And then I needed to confirm the time with Mr. Blake.
Well, Mr. Epstein, that's all for today. Thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴，今天我们要讲在美国如何向餐馆预订座位。
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton.
Welcome, everybody.
Well, Gary, we have an email question about American restaurants.
What's the question?
The question is, how do I make a reservation at an American restaurant?
It's not difficult. They'll ask for your name, the time, and the number of people in your group. Some very popular restaurants will also ask for your phone number.
Why is that?
So that they can call you on the day of your reservation to confirm the reservation.
What if my plans change? What if I have to change or cancel the reservation?
Then you should call the restaurant as soon as possible.Some restaurants will try to call you if you don't show up. So it's important to cancel if you cannot be there.
Thank you, Gary.
My pleasure.
商务对话，一位女士打电话给餐馆取消预订的座位。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Softstone Cafe, how can I help you?
Yes, this is Suzanne Weatherby. I have a reservation for Thursday evening, the 21st at 8 o'clock.
For four people? Yes, I have it here.
Well, I'm very sorry, but I'm going to have to cancel the reservation. I'll be out of town that week.
Okay, I see. Would you like to make a reservation for another time, later in the month?
Well, I'm not exactly sure when I'll be back.
Okay, I've canceled your reservation for the 21st. I appreciate your calling.
No problem. I look forward to coming to your restaurant sometime next month.
We'll be looking forward to seeing you. Thanks again for calling.
Thank you.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about restaurant reservations. We'll see that the people use a lot of the language functions we've been studying. Requests, apologies, confirmations. In Mr. Epstein's conversation, we heard him making a reservation at the Jackson Grill. He begins with a request, using the expression, I'd like.
Yes, I'd like to make a reservation for tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
The woman at the restaurant makes an apology, beginning with, I'm sorry, but...
I'm sorry, but I don't have a table at 12 o'clock.
She then asks for confirmation, using the expression, how would that be?
How would that be?
That would be just fine.
He then requests a quiet table, using the expression, could we?
Could we have a quiet table if possible? We'll be discussing business.
I'm sure we can arrange that.
Finally, the woman confirms the reservation by repeating back the information.
Okay, Mr. Epstein, we'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday at 12:15.
Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
下面我们复习本星期的第二课，确认计划第二部分，重点学习怎样用恰当的语言进行确认。首先请听电话访谈。
On today's program, I'll be talking with Mike Epstein from his office in California. Welcome, Mr. Epstein.
Hello.
After you met with Mr. Blake on Tuesday, June 11th, you went back to your office.
That's right. And then I spoke to my boss, Shirley Graham, about our plans to meet with Mr. Blake the next day, Wednesday.
The three of you were planning to meet at a restaurant for lunch.
That's right. Ms. Graham wanted to meet Mr. Blake, and we needed to discuss some of the details of the new project.
Let's listen to the first part of your conversation with Ms. Graham.
Okay.
Come in.
Oh, Shirley, do you have a minute?
Sure. Come on in, Mike. Have a seat.
Oh, thanks. Listen, I just wanted to let you know that I've made reservations for lunch tomorrow afternoon at 12:15. Okay?
With Mr. Blake?
That's right, of International Robotics.
Okay, so we should leave here at...
About 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock sounds just fine.
I'll pick you up here at 12 o'clock, and we can go to his hotel together.
All right.
Okay.
接下来请大家注意听老师示范做一些词句的代换。
Do you have a minute?
Could I speak to you for a moment?
Have a seat.
Please sit down.
I just wanted to let you know.
I wanted to tell you.
12 o'clock sounds just fine.
12 o'clock is fine with me.
下面我们继续听 Epstein 先生同 Elizabeth 之间的对话。
You report to Ms. Graham, don't you?
That's right. She's my boss.
How did you feel about the meeting she was going to have with Mr. Blake?
Well, I knew that she was very concerned about the October deadline. The factory was scheduled for completion in October. Everything had to be finished by then. I felt confident that Mr. Blake's company could deliver on time, but I knew that Ms. Graham wasn't so sure, so I was a little nervous about the meeting.
I understand. Well, thank you very much for being on our show today.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
文化点滴，在众多的美国商人中，如何识别哪一位是重要人物？
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton.
Welcome, everybody.
Today, we are going to talk about who is most important in American companies. The email question is, when I meet a group of American business people, how do I know who is most important? In my country, the oldest man is usually the person in charge.
That's a very good question. It's true that in America, many companies are run by older men, but you cannot tell who is important based only on age and gender.
Gender?
Yes, whether a person is a man or a woman. In some companies, very young people have important positions. One famous example is Bill Gates, CEO of Microsoft. The oldest person is not always the most important. And in many American companies, women hold very important positions.
So how do you know who is in charge when you meet people for the first time?
You should wait for introductions and listen for job titles that indicate an important position.
Such as?
Oh, titles like director or vice president or manager.
What about business cards? Can they help?
Yes, you can often get good information from business cards. If you exchange business cards, take time to look at the cards carefully. The titles on business cards will often let you know who is most important. One final word of advice. In business, Americans are rather informal. On the surface, they often try to treat each other equally. If you treat all the men and women you meet with respect, you can't make a mistake.
Yes, that's the best strategy. Thanks again, Gary, for your valuable information.
I'm always glad to help.
商务对话。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Excuse me, do you have a minute?
Certainly. Please come in.
Thanks. I made an appointment for us to see Mr. Myers. Are you still free at 11 o'clock on Wednesday?
11 o'clock on Wednesday? I'm afraid not. I'm busy all morning.
That's too bad.
How about 1 o'clock on Friday?
That's fine with me.
Would you call him back and see if Friday is good for him?
Sure, I'll call him right away.
Thanks.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today, I'll be talking about how to confirm plans. In the business dialogue, Ms. Powers tells Mr. Malone that she has made an appointment with Mr. Myers. Then she checks to see that Mr. Malone is available at that time. She uses the expression still free because his schedule was free the last time she checked with him.
I made an appointment for us to see Mr. Myers. Are you still free at 11 o'clock on Wednesday?
Unfortunately, Mr. Malone's plans have changed, and he is not available at 11 o'clock on Wednesday.
Are you still free at 11 o'clock on Wednesday?
11 o'clock on Wednesday? I'm afraid not. I'm busy all morning.
That's too bad.
I'm afraid not is a polite way to say no. Earlier, in Mr. Epstein's conversation with Ms. Graham, we also heard him confirming plans. He told Ms. Graham that he had scheduled a meeting with Mr. Blake. He wanted to make sure that it was okay with her.
Listen, I just wanted to let you know that I've made reservations for lunch tomorrow afternoon at 12:15, okay?
The expression, I just wanted to let you know, is a polite way to give information to someone. In this case, okay means, is that time okay with you? Notice how Ms. Graham confirms that she understands the meeting arrangements.
With Mr. Blake?
That's right, of International Robotics.
Okay, so we should leave here at...
About 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock sounds just fine.
Asking questions and using the expression, so, are excellent ways to confirm information. Also notice how Ms. Graham uses an incomplete sentence instead of asking the direct question, when should we leave?
Okay, so we should leave here at...
About 12 o'clock.
These are just some of the ways to confirm information. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips.
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham. Ms. Graham is attending a conference in Seattle. She'll be talking to us by phone. Welcome, Ms. Graham.
Hello. Thank you for having me on your show.
Can you give us a little background on the project you were working on last year?
Certainly. As you know, Advanced Technologies makes computer parts. To be more specific, we make electronic components for computers. We also manufacture office computers.
Where are your factories located?
Our main factory is in Los Angeles, but we have smaller plants in Northern California, and we have two factories overseas.
Last year, you were in charge of a project to construct another factory in Northern California.
That's right. I wanted to find ways to cut costs and improve productivity. One way to do that was to use robots. So we needed as much information as possible about companies that made industrial robots. That's why I sent Mike Epstein to the trade show in Beijing last spring.
And that's where Mr. Epstein met Mr. Blake.
Yes. Mr. Blake works for International Robotics, a Chinese company that makes industrial robots. Mr. Epstein was very impressed by their technology. And so we agreed to meet with Mr. Blake when he came to the U.S.
Had you ever done business with a Chinese company?
No, we hadn't. So that was one of my main concerns.
Could you be more specific?
Certainly. Mike Epstein told me that the robots were of the highest quality. I'm not an engineer, so on technical matters, I trust Mike's judgment. My concern was with after-sales service. Once the plant was in operation, I had to be sure that things would run smoothly. That means a good maintenance and repair program. I was concerned that a foreign company like International Robotics could not provide adequate maintenance. Mike didn't seem very worried about this, but I was very concerned.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Culture Tips. We're here with our business language expert, Gary Engleton.
It's nice to be back.
We have an email question about American workspaces and offices.
Oh, good. What's the question?
The question is, do most American executives have private offices?
Good question. In most companies, executives and managers, high-level employees, have private offices. By a private office, I mean a room with a door that closes.
And they don't share the office with a coworker.
That's right. In general, the more important the person, the larger the office. Americans are concerned about personal space, and a large, comfortable office is a sign of status.
What about other workers, workers who don't have private offices?
Well, most American workers like to have their own workspace, so company work areas are often divided into cubicles. Each worker has his or her own cubicle.
What exactly is a cubicle?
Cubicles are small, square work areas. They have low walls that can be moved easily. And cubicles usually don't have doors.
So there's not much privacy?
No, there's not.
Where can people meet if they want to talk? Cubicles are too small for meetings, aren't they?
Most companies have common areas or meeting rooms for groups to get together. And in American companies, informal meetings are held everywhere, in cubicles and offices, in the coffee area or cafeteria, wherever people meet.
Powers 女士打电话给 Myers 先生，更改约见日期。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Hello, this is Bob Myers speaking.
Hello, this is Sandra Powers from Delta Electronics. I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday. If it's convenient for you, could we change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday?
I understand that you're very busy, but Friday is too late. We have some very serious problems. I think we should meet as soon as possible.
I see. Could I call you back later today? I want to check our schedule for Thursday.
Good. I'll be expecting your call later today.
I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday.
I'm afraid that Mr. Malone is not free on Wednesday.
I understand that you're very busy, but Friday is too late.
I realize that you're very busy, but Friday is too late.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to make polite refusals. To refuse means to say no. Let's listen to the business dialogue and see how Ms. Powers and Mr. Myers say no in a polite but clear manner.
Hello, this is Bob Myers speaking.
Hello, this is Sandra Powers from Delta Electronics. I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday. If it's convenient for you, could we change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday?
Ms. Powers begins her refusal with an apology. I'm sorry, but... and then says that Mr. Malone is not free to meet with Mr. Myers on Wednesday. Let's listen again.
I'm sorry, but Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday.
Then she suggests another time for the meeting. She begins her suggestion with the very polite expression, if it's convenient for you.
If it's convenient for you, could we change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday?
Ms. Powers would like to meet on Friday, but Mr. Myers thinks that is too late. He begins his refusal by showing he understands Ms. Powers' situation.
I understand that you're very busy, but Friday is too late.
And then he gives his reason for refusal.
We have some very serious problems. I think we should meet as soon as possible.
Ms. Powers and Mr. Myers both show concern for the other person's situation. Now let's listen to another version of this conversation. In this conversation, both people are too direct.
Hello, this is Bob Myers speaking.
Hello, this is Sandra Powers from Delta Electronics. Mr. Malone is busy on Wednesday. We need to change our appointment to 1 o'clock on Friday.
Friday is too late. We have some very serious problems. We should meet as soon as possible.
In this conversation, Ms. Powers and Mr. Myers do not show concern for the other person's feelings. Their direct statements sound rude and demanding. So, if you have to say no to someone, be sure to show that you understand their situation. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里，谢谢各位收听，我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
各位听众，接下来请听美国之音这一小时的简要新闻。美国彭博社援引了解内情的消息人士的话报道说，特朗普总统考虑把提高中国进口商品关税的最后期限延长60天。处于贸易战休战期的美国和中国正在试图通过谈判化解贸易战。特朗普总统和中国国家主席习近平去年12月在阿根廷达成暂停贸易战的协议，美中两国要在90天之内商谈解决贸易争端。美国将在3月2号把总额2000亿美元的中国商品的关税从 10% 上调到 25%。 特朗普总统星期二表示，如果美中两国就中国经济政策做出结构性改革的问题接近达成协议，他可以延长最后期限，但是他表示他不愿意那么做。彭博社援引了解内情人士的话说，特朗普总统正在考虑是否要给两国谈判人员更多的时间，将上调关税的时间向后拖延。特朗普总统星期三说，美中贸易谈判进展良好。美国贸易代表莱特希泽和财政部长姆努钦星期四和星期五在北京和中国副总理刘鹤等官员进行高级别会谈。美国国会参议院外交委员会亚太事务小组委员会主席加德纳星期二说，他当面对来访的前中国驻美国大使周文仲表示，他呼吁邀请台湾总统蔡英文来向美国国会联席会议发表演说，因为这与美国法律一致。他希望众议院议长佩洛西近期内就发出这一邀请。加德纳说，他向中国代表团重申，北京对台北的敌对行动具有反效果，美国国会将会持续为台湾和台湾人民倡议，他这么做是依据美国法律的指引，其中包括与台湾关系法、台湾旅行法以及亚洲再保证倡议法。加德纳说，他也向中国代表团表达了他对中国的一些极其危险的做法的看法，其中包括在南中海的非法军事化、更加恶化的人权，以及北京的歧视性贸易行为等等。他希望美国和中国能够和平解决这些问题。美国国会首次动用战争权力法案制止白宫帮助沙特。由民主党控制的美国国会众议院星期三采取了针对特朗普总统的行动，表决通过法案切断美国在也门作战的沙特联军的军事援助。众议院以248票赞成、177票反对通过了法案，这是众议院有史以来第一次使用战争权力法。法案将交给参议院，参议院去年年末通过了一个类似的法案，成为国会与白宫有可能对峙的铺垫。美国一直主要是以情报和后勤支持沙特为首的联军。沙特联军在也门与伊朗支持的胡塞武装作战。美国总统特朗普星期三表示，他还没有决定是否签署一项两党共同提出的在美墨边境修建新屏障的法案。如果不签署这一法案，在是否修建边境墙问题上的争端将导致政府再度部分停摆。不过特朗普总统表示，他对一个由共和党和民主党组成的委员会制定的边界安全协议拟定的初步预算感到满意。他说，总资金几乎高达230亿美元，比先前高出了 8%。屡获殊荣的菲律宾记者兼一家在线新闻网站的创始人，因与总统杜特尔特多次发生冲突，星期三被政府人员以诽谤罪逮捕。菲律宾新闻网站拉普勒的执行主编玛利亚·萨雷在受到一名涉嫌谋杀、人口贩运以及毒贩的商人投诉后被捕。一些被羁押的非法移民起诉特朗普政府，指控联邦政府强迫他们在羁押中心通过视频电话参加移民法庭聆讯，而不是与法官面对面出庭。各位听众，你刚才收听的美国之音。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目。因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看美国之音 VOA 卫视2月13号星期三的时事大家谈。我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。就在美中举行新一轮贸易谈判的同时，美国海军两艘导弹驱逐舰驶入南中国海由中国实际控制的美济礁12海里范围内水域，再次展开自由航行行动。与此同时，英国国防大臣威廉姆森强硬表态，将派航空母舰前往南中国海，向蔑视国际法的国家展示实力。上个月，美英两国海军在有争议的南中国海进行了自中国填建人工岛礁以来的首次联合演习。美国军舰频繁出入南中国海，自由航行行动会不会常态化？美英联合示威能否带动更多国家挑战中国的岛礁主权声索？中国大规模填海造岛已经改变了南中国海现状，北京会在压力下让步吗？那么我们今天的时事大家谈呢，就会邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这些问题。在新加坡通过视频连线参加节目的是新加坡国立大学东亚研究所研究员陈刚。陈教授您好。
主持人好。
在台北通过电话连线加入访谈的是台湾亚太防务杂志总编辑郑继文。郑先生您好。
主持人好，各位听众大家好。
这个2019年呢，新年伊始，我们看到美国军舰已经啊至少有两次进入南中国海水域。那么观察人士就注意到，说近年来，美国军舰和战机进入南中国海的频率在不断的升高。我来请教新加坡的陈刚教授，您注意到这种趋势了吗？美国这样做啊，它的战略目标是什么呢？
应该讲这个很明显，美国现在在南中国海地区的这个军事的这个活动频率是大大增加了。
嗯，
这个呢有以下几个背景。首先是美国的这个印太战略的这个影响。我们知道这个在特朗普上台以后，他重点推出了这个针对印度洋和太平洋的这个印太战略，而南中国海呢应该来讲是印太战略中间的非常重要的一环，因为它不仅连接着东亚和这个东南亚甚至南亚，而且呢我们看到包括像澳大利亚这些国家也都联系在一起，所以从这个角度来讲呢，它是印太战略的一个部分。
嗯，
另外一方面呢，我们看到这个在2016年这个国际这个仲裁庭的这个仲裁以后，我们可以看出来这个美国也明显的这个加强了在南中国海的这个军事存在，因为他希望呢借此呢来强化这个国际仲裁的这样的一个结果，同时呢他把这个南中国海的这些行为呢作为是这个遏制中国的这个一个重要的一个手段。
好的，那么刚才呢这个陈教授呢他讲的就是说进入南中国海呢，美国进入南中国海呢已经这个频率呢大大提高了。那我来请教这个台湾的郑继文先生啊，美国会不会像中国海警船进入日本实际控制的那个钓鱼岛水域那样呢，未来将这个在那块海域，也就是南中国海那块海域的这个自由航行行动，把它变成一个常态化的这样一个行动呢？
其实美国人事实上现在已经是这样做了。我们注意到，那过去特别是在今年以前，那美国海军他派这个军舰进入这个大陆岛礁12海里范围内这个海域通过，可能几个月一次。但近期感觉到这个频次大幅的增加，那事实上在周边不只是南海而已，在南海的周边它的相关的活动也是越来越活泼。我们也注意到从去年到今年，它通过台湾海峡，而且是这个很高调通过海峡的频次也增加。
嗯，
那此外，那近期大家所关注的两艘神盾军舰通过美济礁12海里范围的同时，我们也注意到另外一个讯息，就是美国海军的黄蜂号两栖攻击舰，那大概从1月中旬到这个2月9号之间，其实它频繁往来东海， 与菲律宾海之间，而且黄蜂号进行了 F-35B 这种全实战化的一个高强度的操演，包括 F-35 战机挂载这种雷射制导这个炸弹，进行相关的挂弹，还有飞行操演以及其他机型的航空作业等等。我们可以看出，其实不只是象征性的神盾军舰通过岛礁而已，美国海军可以说是在南海周边海域，它的这个动用的兵力的规模和活动的强度频次都与日俱增。我想这个陈如前面讲到，美国铺陈印太战略，我想美国人借由这一系列的这些动作，他未来这个整个战略的作为和与相关国家的配合，我认为它的规模和频次都会日渐增加的。哎，
好的，那么我们回到呢，就是这个星期刚刚发生的这个美国两艘神盾级这个导弹驱逐舰呢，它进入南中国海，据说呢是进入了每个这个中国实际控制的这个一个岛礁叫美济礁，这样12海里的这样一个这个水域。那么我们谈谈这个问题有什么特殊的意义吗？首先，陈教授。
应该讲美国这个军舰靠近美济礁的话，它其实对中国所声称的这个领海和主权构成了相当的挑战。
嗯，
因为我们看到这个中国，他认为这个现在很多人认为是一个岛，它不是一个礁，它是一个岛。所以呢，这个美济岛呢，它应该是属于这个中国后来新成立的这个三沙市的一部分。作为这个美济岛的话，它应该有一个自己的属于12海里的这样的一个领海的这样的一个主权拥有。所以美国作为这个军舰，它靠近这个12海里的时候，它不是属于这个国际法上所说的无害通过的这样的一个条件。
嗯，
所以从中国的角度，他认为这是对自己主权的一个严重的一个挑衅。从历史上看，我们看到美国也多次做过类似的事情，包括菲律宾的这个有关方面也做过这个登礁的这样的一些事情，中国都是采取武力这个驱散的这种方式。所以我们看到中国在这个方面它的这个反应是非常强烈的。但是我们要看到这地方有几个问题，首先美济岛或者美济礁它本身就是一个有争议的一个领土，
嗯，
另外一方面它能否产生12海里的这样的一个领海，从国际上讲的话，它是一个也是一个争议的问题。
嗯，
如果我们看到这个国际前两年这个国际仲裁庭，也就是中国不承认的这样的一个国际仲裁庭的这个仲裁结果的话，应该来说这样的一个美济礁它不能够，它不是一个岛，所以它不能够这个产生一个12海里的这样的一个领海的这样的一个领土的这样的一个索求。
嗯，好的，那么台湾的郑先生，您对这个最近美国两艘导弹驱逐舰进入中国据中国方面说呢是中国12海里领海这样的这个一个举动，您认为有什么特殊的意义吗？
我认为其实这中国这样的说法，它与过去以来是一致的。当然，前面有讲到，对于这个人工填海吹沙的这些岛礁，那国际上特别是美国以及这个周边的国家，对于它所具备的一个岛的这个主权意义，那很多国家是这个否认的。而且是过去以来通过这个国际仲裁法院，其实是对这个有所这个一定的判决，是对中国不利。但事实上，中国在这个部分其实很有意思，就是对于仲裁的结果，那大陆和台湾就是两岸对这个仲裁的结果，那倒都是一致的反对。也就是认为这个仲裁的结果还有它整个过程是有一定的疑义，而且这个大陆官方其实他自始至终就表明他并未参加相关的仲裁，也没有这个提供仲裁相关他意见的陈述和一些相关的一些证据等等。因此就大陆方面来讲，他是这个质疑国际上所依据的仲裁结果，也因此对这个部分我必须讲，可以说是争议的各方其实各有依据， 当然国际上我认为还是主要是讲求实力为原则哦，
嗯，
也就是美国借由比较强势的海空军，那借由这样的不断的活动来挑战和否定大陆所声称的主权，而大陆方面事实上他的作为也是这个按照他既定的计划，那不只是以这个填海吹沙的岛礁为基础，而且逐步增加了这些岛上的包括机场包括码头包括相关的设施，甚至未来是否有更进一步的更机密大型的军事设备在上面，我认为都在他的计划里面。
嗯，
其实说白了就是借由这些岛礁的相关的建设的强化，那大幅加强中国大陆对于这些岛礁的控制能力，那说白了就是对南海也就是南沙这块水域的控制能力哦。那这一点其实就目前形势所摆开来，尽管美国方面借由优势的海空兵力不断地进行一个挑战一个刺激，但大陆方面就还是很稳定的按照计划加强它的实控能力。
嗯，
我认为假以时日，如果按照大陆的这个计划步骤下去，我认为形势会逐渐对它有利。那在此同时，它还加强了与周边就是与南海相关主权深索有争议的国家之间的双边对话，希望借由各个急迫的方式让各国特别周边国家对于这个问题对这些争议朝向有利于大陆倾斜的方向进行一个发展啊。因此相关的形势其实让美国方面感到这个有一点这个危急，哎，有一点忧虑，也就是因此会借由一些包括美军和他一些盟国的军队要逐步这个进入南海，那增加更多频次的军演，来施加对中国大陆更强的一种压力。哎，
好的，那么我们看到呢，除了美国之外，英国最近的举动也非常引人关注，他的国防大臣叫威廉姆森呢，日前就表示要把伊丽莎白号航母派往南中国海来展示他的硬实力。我来请教陈教授啊，有人说英国这次表态非常强硬，这是为什么呢？为什么英国要跟美国来趟，像有人说的那样趟这趟浑水呢？
应该讲英国这次行动的话确实是一个风向标的一个标志啊，因为我们看到过去的话，这个过去若干年，这个英国其实和中国走的是比较近的，尤其是我们看到这个在中国提出一带一路的时候，一开始西方很多国家对此表示疑虑，包括这个亚投行，但是英国呢是率先这个表态支持亚投行，支持一带一路的这样的一个西方国家。另一方面呢，在其他领域也都和中国有很多合作。在对中国的问题上呢，英国以前是采取和美国相对独立的和和缓的这样的一个对华政策，但是呢，我们看到这个现在这个背景呢，这个英国的政策发生了一个重要的转向，这有几个大的原因。一方面呢，我们看到这个在中美这个对抗啊，越来越严重的这样的一个背景下，英国它作为一个盎格鲁一个英美体系的一个重要的国家，它呢这个最后它有可能它是选边站在这个英美这个体系的这个盎格鲁萨克森五国的这个阵营之中，这是一方面。另一方面呢，我们看到这个英国现在也在面临一个脱欧的这样的一个政治程序，这个它一旦这个脱离欧盟的话，它相对于欧盟对华的这个外交政策呢，它有进一步的这样的一个灵活性。另外一方面，我们看到这个英国这些年对这个亚太地区它投入了大量的这个外交军事还有这个经济的资源，我们看到明显它这个在脱欧以后啊，它如果一旦脱欧的话，它会更多的资源倾向在这个亚太地区，而这个方面呢应该来讲这个配合美国的印太战略，这个在东南亚包括在整个这个南亚地区的这个部署是非常符合英国的这样的一个战略的一个向亚太地区的一个转向的一个过程。
嗯，但是许多观察人士呢似乎并不看好英国的这一次所谓强硬举动，因为目前刚刚服役的这个伊丽莎白号呢这个航母还是个空壳，成军呢至少要等到2020年之后。那么我来请教郑先生啊，英国只是开空头支票吗？为什么他要如此强硬的表态呢？
其实英国要派军哦，特别派军舰来南海，那个展现它和美国一样，就是这个反对某些国家这个单边的行为哦。
嗯，
我想这个就如前面我所提到的，这国际上是讲求实力的。英国能否拿出一个比较拿得上台面的海军实力，来呼应美国这种呼朋引伴的行动，我认为这个疑问是非常非常的大哦。
嗯，
那举例，之前英国也做过这样的事情，那之前有派出234这个护卫舰，或者派出它的2栖船舰，通过南海，虽然没有像美国一样哦进入这个十二海里这样这个进行一个很有象征性的一个示威，但其实以这样的兵力过去。那我认为对于大陆方面并不会带来什么太大的，应该是说这个军事压力是感受不到的哦。那即使我认为这个伊丽莎白女王号那进入南海，以该舰所具备的实质的战力，特别这艘船可能只是光杆一个，那或许它会带几艘护卫舰，但它所展现整个军事的实力断断不是美国海军，那包括他第七舰队和周边的这个强力的这个航母这个打击群，或者一些美国海军其他船舰这样的硬实力可以比拟哦。因此即使英国未来那每年会派出几艘军舰，那一时通过南海呼应美国这种这个行动，但他所能拿出来兵力还真的是捉襟见肘，毕竟英国的这个国防预算有限，而实时分到海军的又可能又被这个又只是占其中的一部分而已。以英国目前的这个经济实力来讲，要良好的呼应美国的行动，我认为在美国的各个盟国里面，它的这个整个所展现出来的能力，或许那相比于日本或澳大利亚或许是更为不足。
好的，那么现在呢，我给大家选读一些网评，然后呢我们希望我们两位专家呢对我们听众观众朋友们的这个网评观点来做一个简要的这个点评。首先呢是 STGY007， 他说，那么强大的美国在加勒比海地区没有和诸多加勒比海国家有领土争端，没有把加勒比海改名为南美国海，没有在加勒比海吹沙填海造岛，这些是不是值得中共借鉴反思一下如何处理和周边国家的关系？我们也有不同的立场，像凯文富，我们这位网友呢，他说，美国现在挑战中国大陆在南中国海的主权，但是1946年美国确实还帮助中国，1946年呢还是中华民国的这个中国大陆呢光复日本败退后的南海岛礁，美国甚至派出军舰来支持中国光复南中国海啊南海岛礁，所以现在美国的立场的确很尴尬很矛盾。我们现在呢看起来啊各种观点都有，我们希望我们两位专家呢做个简单的点评。首先陈教授
啊，应该讲这个南中国海和其他的一些海域啊，包括刚才某些听众讲的这个加勒比海，它是不可以同日而语的，或者说不可以相比较的。为什么呢？原因很简单，南中国海它的战略地缘的这个重要性啊，远远超过像加勒比海这样的地方。我们知道这个世界，这个南中国海是一个咽喉要道，它不仅是这个中国，也是东亚其他的重要的经济体，包括像日本、韩国的这样的一个海上的生命线。我们知道这个在半个多世纪前，正是因为美国还有这个英国掐断了这个日本的这个南海的这个海上生命线，所以直接导致了日本对于美国的这个进攻这个珍珠港这些袭击。所以我们看到呢，这个呢是一个兵家必争之地。从今天角度来看的话，世界上超过一半的能源的供应，还有相当数量的商品的贸易要经过这个南中国海这片海域。可以说这片海域呢是现在全球最为繁忙的海域。因此呢，我们知道这个包括这些海上强国，虽然它离这个地方很远，包括美国包括英国，
但是这个地方对于他们的这个经济安全，对于他们的战略安全来讲，是一个非常重要的一环。所以呢，他们非常强调这个海上的航行自由。当然中国方面保证呢，说即便这个我的主权都实现了，我也可以保证各个国家的海上的通行的自由。但是从其他国家角度来讲，他的这个疑虑始终是存在的。所以这个呢，所以不仅是英美了，其实欧洲的一些其他国家也有类似的这样的一个考虑。
嗯，那么刚才我们看到有一位叫开温富啊，这位网友呢，他指出这样一个啊，他认为是事实，就是说呢，啊，美国曾经在历史上二战结束以后呢，帮助当时的中华民国恢复这个当时的中华民国对啊对这个啊南中国海诸岛的这样一个主权，可是现在呢，他又反对中国实施这样一个主权，这是不是立场有些矛盾和尴尬呢？我来请教台湾的郑先生，您怎么看这个问题啊？
其实我们就台湾的这个认知来讲哦，那就是这样的历史认知就更为强烈哦。
嗯，
那我们都知道目前南海的多个岛礁，哎，比如那之前台湾控制最大的岛叫太平岛，哎，或者这个菲律宾的这个中业岛，其实当时都是这个中华民国军队那搭就是乘坐美国所支援的军舰，哎，逐步探勘了这些岛礁，而且派员上去进驻，然后揭示一些领土这个界牌。哎，像中业岛上面为什么叫中业岛，就是因为当时派出的军舰是搭乘一艘叫做中业号，
嗯，
就战车登陆舰，也因此把这个岛命名为中业岛。那太平岛还有周边的岛礁也都有这些这个历史的遗迹哦。也因此我认为这个部分其实两岸它是有一定的历史因素来证明对于这些岛礁的实控以及它所享有这个权利哦，它是有一个历史因素存在。而且我这针对目前这个很多国家，包括周边国家和域外像英美等国认为南海这个海域这个战略地位重要，那必须要保持它的这个通畅。事实上这个海域对中国来讲又何尝不是如此，那特别是过去以来，因为中国大陆它的这个国力在1980年代以前还不强之前，其实这些岛礁是竞相被越南、菲律宾等等所夺取。那台湾由于它的能力有限，那几个岛礁虽然之前实控，但后来逐步收缩，只剩下最大的太平岛。
嗯，
也因此就大陆的观点来讲，如果任由这些国家把这些岛礁全部实控以后，那对它的海上贸易还有能源运输，它的这个威胁那就是更为巨大。也因此过去我们可以发现，在这个至少这个进入新世纪以前，虽然大陆方面多次要求周边国家对相关的议题进行谈判，而且双这个各国克制，那但是像越南，它占的岛礁目前30几个，而且越南是最早实现岛礁要塞化、军事化的国家。即使菲律宾也在中业岛上面盖了机场，因此就目前来看，特别是国际上所宣称的，就是好像大陆单方面这个军事化或者这个让它这个人工岛礁的面积更大。我认为可能先做的国家或许应该是越南或者是菲律宾才对哦。
嗯，
只不过大陆依着像资源和技术之这个能力比较先进之次，后来这个后发先至，
嗯，
那展现目前这个能力，
嗯，
但总体来我认为对于这一片战略性的海域，各国各有各的盘算，对于英美或者东亚国家重要，事实上对于中国大陆也重要。
嗯，
那当然接下来就是通过谈判或者通过展现实力，我想目前就是交织在这些复杂的作为还有各方的一个互相这个加入这个整个赛局，形成目前那日益复杂的一个形势。
嗯，好的，今天我们时事大家谈讨论呢到这里就结束了，时间关系我们不能一一播出网友们做出的所有评论并回答网友朋友们的所有问题。我是许波，我们下次节目再会。